Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Women, keep silent. Okay, I'm going to go out the door right now. Paul's a little clearer about things in his letter to Timothy, isn't he? But like Paul Harvey, there's more to the rest of this story. Now, normally when we have readings, they tie together, right? So we have this letter to Timothy as well as the parable of the dishonest manager. Now these readings are related. How? You know, the first reading, it's a little tough. But we're going to look at how they're related in a moment. So first of all, let's look at the letter to Timothy first. Now, what are the points? Women are to remain silent in church. She is not to be put over a man. And Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived and led Adam into sin. Now that we got all this out of the way, let's look at the world of the Bible in this time period. In ancient Israel, women are not allowed to own property. In fact, women are owned by a man. So either your husband or your father, we call it chattel servitude.
What's that word again?
Chattel, C-H-A-T-T-E-L, means the same thing as cattle. That's what it is. So a woman is a possession like a cow. Okay? But in the book of Ruth, remember when we studied that in our Bible study, we find out what happens to a woman who does not have that man in her life. You know, what we saw in that is that Naomi and Ruth were trying to make a living for themselves without having that man. It was pretty tough, wasn't it? So when we look at this situation, it's really funny because this world we have trouble understanding because it's not the way it is for us. Women were not educated in ancient Israel. And women in most cases made clothes, raised children, cooked, washed clothing, and gossiped with each other. You know, what else are you going to do to fill your days if you're not learning anything? Well, sophistication is not part of that scenario, is it? But yet, let's look at the situation in the book of Hebrews with Priscilla. We'll use Priscilla's namesake today. She was the leader, along with Apollonius of the church at Ephesus. Most scholars debate this, but I really think she wrote the book of Hebrews. All right, so we've got a woman. First of all, it's in charge of a church. Secondly, is educated and right. Now, if you notice the name, Priscilla and Apollonius, see the Greek and Latin names here? They're educated. Okay. We know she was special because Paul lived with Priscilla and her husband Aquila for 2 years and helped them make tents. They were tent makers. That was their business. That's what Paul's profession was. So he lived with them and helped them to make tents. On that example, can women take an important part in this world? Of course. So why this warning to Timothy? I'm going to share a vent with you. When I was on vicarage in Archbold, Ohio, all right, summer vicarage is what it was, we had a family that very tall, had 4 daughters, beautiful girls, and they always wore something low cut, okay? Very heavily endowed. Always came up to communion, we had a communion rail, they knelt, bent over. Yes, the view was nice. So I talked to the supervising pastor, I said, "Pastor, this isn't right." And he said, "Well, let's talk to them about it." So I did. They got offended. 2 weeks later, got up, bent over, one of them popped out. The week after that, they didn't wear anything low cut. Huh? Wardrobe malfunction. But the thing is, even in today, you've got people that don't understand that this is a time of purity, of love, of reverence and respect. and they didn't do it. Now, let's go back to Bible times. What do you do when you got a bunch of people who are uneducated? You know, they're kept down for a reason. You know, they're probably coming to church, but they're knitting. They're sitting there and talking to each other. Theology is so far above their head, they don't know. So Paul tells Timothy, women should keep silent in church. In other words, don't talk during the service. Okay? But now, how many people today, because it's in the Bible, we're literal, that's what it's supposed to be. Women, shut up in church. But is that what it really means? No. You know, and the thing is, you can take, and this is when the Bible gets scary. You can take any verse or any section out of the Bible, out of context, and have it say whatever you want it to say. That does not mean that it's the truth of the matter. It's using the Bible to lie. And that's a danger in the Bible, isn't it? But now, 1 Timothy. How many of you ever read 1 Timothy? Three of you, okay? That's in there. 1 Timothy is the instruction for pastors, how you've got to be. Folks, he jumps on the pastors just as bad as he jumped on the women. Okay? So it's one of those things, he's trying to teach Timothy how to maintain a church, how to keep things going. And here as a pastor, how you have to live and serve God. You know, but we read that stuff today, you know, women should keep silent in church. It doesn't mean what it says it means. Okay. And so when we take that, there's a lot of reasons this warning can be questioned. I just gave you some of them. Especially when we see Paul, who wrote it, with Aquila and Priscilla, who is running the church at Ephesus with Apollonius, who is not doing this at all. We have a woman in charge of the church. We have a woman preaching. So who's not supposed to be in charge of a man? Even Paul said it's okay. And that's the thing is, remember in Bible study I told you, sometimes what isn't said is as important as what's said. Why? Because when we look at this story of Paul in Ephesus with the two of them, we can see that what he preaches to Timothy is not going on there, and it's supported by Paul. See my point? Okay. So if a woman is capable, does she deserve a chance? Oh, yeah. And I really think that's a positive example for today's culture, too. But yet, you take a look at women in business and the glass ceiling. Well, you're important, but you're not as important as a man doing the work. Not right, is it? I don't think so. Because the thing is, if you're doing the same work, you deserve the same pay. If we looked at our seminaries in the ELCA, NALC, and the LCMC, there are more women in the seminaries than there are men. Now, LCMS and Wells, Wisconsin Synod, do not have women's ordination. They take this section literally. In fact, when we went to a Wisconsin Synod church in Snowflake, Arizona, my wife, ex-wife, went to the women's meeting, and they were talking about something they needed to do for the church. So they were going to talk to the men and get permission. And my wife and her principal were sitting there and they said, we don't have to go get permission for anything. Oh, but the men are in charge of the church. We can't do anything without their permission. Now, if I said that to any of you here, would I ever hear the end of it?
Yep.
Nope. But it's a different way of looking at things. And do I agree with it? No. Peggy and I have had a lot of talks about this because I don't mind women pastors. Peggy does not like it. You got to remember that she grew up in the LCMS. A lot of things that she believed, especially when I joined the LCMC, she changed them. And she's starting to see the value of women pastors, like when we go to the annual gathering, because so many of them are running seminars and things like that. But a lot of it, don't you think, has to do with what you're used to? I mean, I could ask some of you here, how would you feel about having a woman pastor in the pulpit? Some of you have said, no problem with it. Some of you might. But again, it all depends on the person. Now, I've had two women pastors in my background. One was fantastic. One wasn't. All right, so do we damn all women pastors because of the one that was bad? How many bad pastors you had that were male? Okay, see what I'm getting at? It all depends on the person itself. And you can have a good pastor, you can have a bad pastor. And the reason I'm talking so much about pastors is because that's what 1 Timothy is training. So a good pastor is a good pastor, whether they're male or female. It doesn't make any difference. They're serving God, and they're a good shepherd for their people. Now, here's where we tie it in. But if they're a good shepherd, are they a good manager? Think about that for a second. Well, I think so. Does it really matter whether a male or a female if they're a good leader for a church? I don't think so. If they're a faithful steward for our Lord and Savior, and I had my Bible sitting up here, I moved it. And if they follow the Word of God, are they a good leader? Yeah. And the thing is, we don't always have to be right, but we have to try, correct? And that's whether it's a pastor or whether it's a parishioner or whatever, we work together. Because our heads, and when we start putting things together and come up with answers, that's when we're good. So it doesn't really make any difference if they're good or bad as that leader, the manager we had. And I think, of course, we want a good leader. 1 Timothy is about those rules for a pastor, which is why, again, I focus on the office of holy ministry in my message today. But I think the real message that we have here in this passage is that a church leader must be faithful to our Savior and a good steward and shepherd to their people. And if that's the case, does it really make any difference if they're a man or a woman? No. What makes it important is that they're a good and honest manager for their flock. Jesus managed us, didn't he? He gave all for us. If a pastor follows in his footsteps, what a blessing that is for all of us. Amen. May our pastors be good and faithful shepherds, no matter whether they male or female. And may this message of support keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.